Right, it's a good morning to you and welcome to this edition. It's a second edition, our second edition of Unpacking. And today, like I said, we are going to look into the booklet of the NDP6 and check whether or not we are on track, whether or not they are, you know, things that are already done, like what the government was talking about, has been talking about, you know, last year, from last year on. We look at the 6th National Development Plan, the NDP6, and the goals and desired outcomes. So we look at those ones and then we see whether we are able to, to trace one or two things, because the government wants the government is aiming for economic growth, transformation, and resilience. So the government is looking at human development and community, a lot of things that are written here, and we just want to look at those things, some of those things, and see whether or not we are on track. Some of you only say, no, the government is not working. But you say the government is not working. The government is not doing what? What is that? What is it that the government is not doing? You see, what is it that the government is not doing? Because you cannot answer that question because you don't read government plans. And in fact, some of you do not even read your own party manifestos. At the end of the day, you are moving from one political party to the other because you think your own political party is not delivering. But what is that? What is it that it is not delivering? You cannot tell because you don't know the plans of your political party because you don't read. So we go online and download pictures. We download videos. But we cannot download plans. We cannot download manifestos for our political parties. And then you say our political party is the best. The best in what? You know? The best in what? So we will look at some focus goals. Some focus areas which the government is trying to focus on in order to bring development. Now, let me put my house in order just shortly, and then we come and continue.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. like I said, we want to look at certain focus areas that the government said immediately they will immediately look at these areas, and we will determine whether or not the government has done what they have promised to do. And it's not from, it's not really to criticize or to pick, you know, to pick faults or to find faults. The aim is just to check whether or not we are on track. Because remember, we are talking about 2030 and we only have 3 years now. We only have 3 years left. So, are we able to achieve NDP 6 in its fullness? Are we able to achieve the fullness of NDP 6 in 3 years' time? Can we do that? Okay, let's look at focus areas. Number one, the government is focusing, will focus on agriculture. And we say agriculture value chain development. That's number one. And then agro-processing, then manufacturing, green hydrogen, okay? Now, and also climate smart, sustainable, and competitive, you know, crop and livestock value chain. That also, we look at increase value addition. Increase value addition and locally, you know, locally agro-processed products for exports. And then increase production and export of value added products in the economy. Okay. Before I continue, let me look at the desired outcome here. Because this is now pillar one. Pillar one in the NDP 6. This is pillar one that is saying growth, transformation, and resilience. That's the theme. And then the goal is to achieve sustainable economic growth and prosperity for all Namibians. That's a goal. The economic growth, transformation, and resilience, pillar six, to achieve it seeks to achieve high economic growth and transformation, and transform the economy from the high dependency on primary industries to secondary and tertiary industries. Secondary and tertiary industries, these are industries which are whereby you have semi-finished and finished products. You know, you have, because the primary industries, these are just industries where you are talking about raw materials only. But secondary and tertiary, these are processes where raw materials are processed and, you know, a value is added to them and they become finished or a semi-finished or finished product. Then to increase substantial employment opportunities through value addition, beneficiation of natural resources. Then, that is, the government wants to develop new industries. Now, these are the desired outcomes. And listen very well, because this is where it gets interesting. And this is where we need to understand whether or not we are on track. This is now 0.101. By 2030, Namibia will be, listen, Namibia will be a resilient middle income economy. Okay? Underpinned by inclusive, diversified, and sustainable growth. I want you to listen to that. In 3 years, Namibia, this name Namibia will change in 3 years, according to the government. When you come to Namibia in 3 years' time, you are in a middle income country. Not only a middle income that is underpinned by inclusive, diversified, and sustainable growth. These are now thematic. When you get into the thematic area, it even becomes interesting, because we talk about consolidating growth from current sources and boosting new sources of income, or new sources of economic growth, and employment. What are those sources? And then we talk about sub goals. Namibia want to achieve a high, inclusive, sustainable economic growth with decent wages. Okay? And the desired outcome is to say, in this now 0102, by 2030, Namibia will achieve 7% or more of economic growth rate. Okay? And 0.103, by 2030, Namibia achieve employment rate of 75% from 63.1% currently. So Namibia by 2030, hey guys, you didn't read this booklet. I want you to drop every magazine that is in your closet right now. And I want you to read, because this is a government Bible. This is a government prophetic chapters in the government Bible. You can't afford to miss this kind of prophecies, because the government is prophesying that by 2030, Namibia will have achieved a 75% employment from 63.1. So if 63.1 employment rate in Namibia is correct, then 75% will be achievable, if this is correct, But here's how it becomes even interesting. The focus areas, the enablers, what will enable the government to achieve what I just read? Number one, we talk about agriculture, value chain development. Number two, we talk about agro-processing. Number three, we are talking about manufacturing. Number four, green hydrogen. And then, because, you know, NDP 6, you don't read it like you are reading a newspaper. Because if you are reading it like you are reading a story of who hammered who last night, you will lose a lot of very important things. You need to, because every word in this book is very important. If you are a responsible citizen that is very keen and sensitive enough and ready, resilient enough to hold your government responsible or accountable, every word in this booklet is very important. And like I said, most of you didn't read this book. You didn't read this booklet. I made sure this booklet was interpreted properly in my readings, so that I read this one myself from cover to cover, page to page, letter to letter. Now, we have the sub-goals under this one. The government had plans for climate smart, sustainable, and competitive crop and livestock value chains. Listen to that. Let me repeat it again. Climate smart, sustainable, and competitive crop and livestock value chain. I'll come to this one. Let me read it again. You didn't hear it properly. You see, if you are drinking water, you need to stop drinking water first. Listen to this one. Especially if you are in the northern communal area. If you are in the northern communal area, you need to stop drinking water. Listen, if you are having on Jabula near there, please just drop it for now. Listen to this one. Climate smart, sustainable, and competitive crop and livestock value chains. Full stop. And then increased value addition and locally, you know, agro-processed products for exports. Okay? And then increased production and export of value-added products in the economy. I just want to finish the pillar one, so that we now start to analyze. Then the government would have reached a developed green hydrogen industry as a new source of sustainable economic growth and employment. That one better comes because electricity has become very expensive. Now, the desired outcomes. 0.104 says by 2030. Guys, have you ever been in church and the prophet is about to speak? You need to attentively listen to what is the government is saying here. Because this is how you determine whether the government is on track or not, and this is how you are able to hold them accountable when you know the plans. But if you don't know the plans, you will be talking things that have already been achieved and you are not aware, because most of us don't read. 0.104, by 2030, the livestock crops, the livestock crops value chain are
stash your cash. Don't break the bank, stash your cash with WB. Buy 2 kg packs of Tastic Rice for $69.99. A 1 kg box of Jungle Oats for $37.99. A 2 litre Oros for only $36.99 with Smart Buy. And 2 2-litre bottles of Stay Soft for just $89.99. See more month-end deals at voermanbrock.com. We care. Stash your cash.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay, so the desired outcome here, and I'm telling you that if you are in the northern communal area, you need to listen very well. And if you are a serious citizen, because some of you will consider this show boring, because we are not criticizing anyone. We are just trying to read the NDP 6, and you will switch off. But you are robbing yourself of the opportunity to hold your own government that you voted into power accountable. How do you hold the government accountable when you don't know their plans? Some of you just go to rallies to just clap hands when you don't understand what is being said. Or some of you have just become critics of government when you are not even reading the plan, the development plan, the national development plan. You can even go to your office, the office of your councillor or governor, and ask for the NDP copy. You can find it. It's there. Or go online and on the website of National Planning Commission, you can download the NDP 6 there. Or maybe on your party website, you can download the NDP 6 and read it parallel with your party manifesto. Now, let's go. The government is prophesying that 0.104, by 2030, the livestock crops value chains are thriving. Listen, and collectively contribute at least 8.0% to the GDP from 4.6%. Okay? This might be possible. The livestock, I'm taking time because I have enough time. I don't want to rush this thing, because I want you to understand every bit and every inch of word. And if you have a pen there, you can be taking notes. Livestock crops value chain are thriving and collectively contribute at least 8.0% to the gross domestic product from 4.6%. 0.105 says by 2030, Namibia produces 8% or 80% of its national, you know, food procurement from 60%. Okay. And then 0.106 by 2030, the agro-processing contribution to gross domestic product will be will have increased from 7.5% to 10%. 0.107 says by 2030 the percentage share of manufacturing has increased from 10.6% to 18%. By 2030, this is now 0.108, green this is green hydrogen, the base load, electricity developed from 0.0%. That is 0.0 gigawatts to 143 gigawatts. Then 0.1.09 saying by 2030 this is green hydrogen now. 30,000 jobs would have been created by hydrogen. You know, would have increased from 800. Right now, green hydrogen only has 800. So in 3 years, green hydrogen will be able to have 30,000 people employed in it, or 30,000 jobs. Now, the strategies of government, the strategies they are going to employ in achieving all that I have said. In number one, the government will strengthen domestic agricultural, input, supply, and innovation systems. The government would have improved rangeland, animal and plant health management. And then revitalize the strategic agricultural value chain. And then promote climate smart water and energy efficient agricultural production system. Let me repeat this one. Promote climate smart water and energy efficient agricultural production systems. And then expand market access and value chain competitiveness, and then promote technology-driven value addition and agro-processed products diversification. And then they will promote in the infrastructure development, and then promote existing agro-processing infrastructure, and then leveraging on green financing mechanisms, and then optimize the use of industrial infrastructure, and then enhance industrial financing, and then create incentives for manufacturing. Okay, promote the adoption of modern technologies. Those are the strategies that government will employ in achieving the goals we've been talking about. Then this book, I can go on and on and on and on, but I just want to focus on certain areas. Here they are talking about green hydrogen. We will bring somebody in green with green hydrogen, I think, tomorrow to come and understand how far green hydrogen has gone. What are the developments so far? So we will bring in somebody tomorrow to come and tell us more on the green hydrogen issue. But my area of focus is for you to understand whether or not we have achieved, or we have achieved. I'm just going to read for you certain some things, and then when you call in, you will tell me what in your view, what you see the government has done, and what you see might not be done in the period under discussion. The government will continue to say contracts for difference via economic diplomacy. Okay? Then develop policies and legislative, framework. In this area, the government is not doing properly. It's not doing well, because Parliament has not passed any law right now. They have not passed any bill. So when it comes to the development of policy and legislative framework, here the government has to work very hard because they are behind schedule. Establishing green hydrogen, special economic zone. That is the SEZ. Build local manufacturing capacity. Develop common user infrastructure. That is the CUI for the green hydrogen sector. Okay? Prioritize. I'm not going to say anything on green hydrogen, because we are going to hear from the experts tomorrow. Prioritize skill development and research, development, and innovation. then advance sustainable environmental and social development. Then the government has their own flagship programs. And this is animal and crop value chain development.
Attention all bargain hunters. Why pay more when you can pay less at USAFE stores? Get 4 kilos of real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just $189.99 Namibian dollars. Get 5 kilograms of Polana elbow pasta, just $124.99 Namibian dollars. Get a 500 gram brick of Rama 70% fat spread, just $26.99 Namibian dollars. Get 2 liters of Right Brand sunflower oil, just $74.99 Namibian dollars. Get a large bottle of Wellington's tomato sauce, just $29.99 Namibian dollars. And lastly, get 750 grams of crystal gold mayonnaise, just $36.99 Namibian dollars. Save big at USAVE.
Okay, you have to bear with me here because this is a lot of work. So the government has on their own flagship programs under this. There are goals, there are desired outcomes, there are, you know, flagship programs. So this is just pillar number one. So under their flagship program, they are talking about animal and crop value chain development. They are also talking about agro-processing infrastructure development. They are also talking about manufacturing infrastructure. They are talking about value chain development. They are talking about the Namibian green hydrogen. And then they also have focus areas, which is, you know, oil and gas, nuclear industry, macro, small, and medium, you know, enterprises. Then they also have, that is what we call MSME, and then informal sector. They also have upscaling private sector development and support tourism and gaming. Hey, young people, support what? Tourism and gaming. This is what Kanjengo has been talking about yesterday, that look, allow young people to do what they are good at. And this is what the government is also looking at. They've discovered that gaming is not just a playing thing. It's money. It's an economy. Now, some of their sub goals they have to, they want developed oil and gas industry to contribute to the socio-economic development of Namibia. Then improved nuclear industry contribution to sustainable socio-economic development. The nuclear, workshop, you did not attend it very well. Informal enterprises transition and, you know, MSME upscaled into productive, competitive, and resilient businesses or business units. This is what they want. They want to make sure that informal enterprises are transitioned and macro, small, and medium enterprises or enterprises are upscaled into productive, competitive, and resilient business units. That is what the government want to achieve by 2030. I want to pause here a little bit. So I don't know what the government is talking about when they are talking about informal enterprises. Because 3 years to come, we still have people that are fighting with City of Windhoek. You know, who are fighting, whose, you know, products are being confiscated when they are trying to sell in the streets to make ends meet. So the government is saying they want to transition the informal, they want to transition informal enterprises and MSMEs to make sure that they are upscaled into productive competitive and resilient business units. How is the government going to do this? The only setback that the government have is a lack of proper allocation of places to sell and to do business. Because municipalities are not creating a conducive environment for vendors to be able to sell their products freely without being intimidated by municipality officials, let alone, you know, police officers. So what is the government doing? Is the government talking, or are the municipalities in the country aligning themselves with the NDP 6 and what it seeks to achieve? The problem the government is facing is a gross fragmentation. What I call a gross fragmentation, where the government at the executive level is planning A, but the government at the local level is doing Z. So there is no working together. There is no connection between what the government is thinking from an executive, maybe legislative level, to the municipal level of government. There seem to be no integration, because municipality is pulling their own direction, and the government is saying they want to achieve upscaled, macro and medium, medium entrepreneurs transitioned into upscaled, productive, competitive, and resilient business units. How will that be achieved? If in other municipalities, the people that are trying to sell, they are built, you see, sometimes I lose words. How do you create a market, for example, in a very opposite direction, and you take the locals there? You take the locals there where it is difficult for them to get customers. So the municipality or the municipal level of government is not in line with what the government is trying to achieve in this NDP 6. Maybe municipal authorities, they also need to sit down maybe and study this, because it is actually not in line with what they are currently doing. But at the same time, you could say municipalities and town councils and local authority has played also a major role in creating opportunities for informal business people to have a place where they can sell their products. Because we have, at the same time, well-organized, open market, which have contributed immensely to the economic growth from a local point of view. But in some instances, we see municipality not in line with what the government wants to achieve. So it's like you are having, one leg is going forward and another leg is going backward. So in that case, there is confusion. So you end up falling because you are not coordinated. The movements are not coordinated. Okay. So we'll see how the government will achieve this in 3 years, but they still have a lot of work to do because they need to be in sync with, municipalities need to be in sync with government. The minister is saying, please stop Red Force. Another town council is saying, we are not going to stop. So that is already a sign that certain town councils were not in sync. And the only practical example I can give you is the Katima Town Council, until the minister just dissolved it. Because the people got used to the system to the point that they can defy ministerial order. And the only solution that was remaining was to just dissolve everything. Now, the government wants a private sector induced growth, increased numbers of tourist arrival and revenue from gaming sector. Wait. The government want to increase tourist arrivals. Okay, this they can do. In fact, they have done that. They have in fact introduced the visa on arrival, which is generating already revenue for them. So here the government has done this. But when it comes to increased revenue from gaming sector, and then accelerating economic growth through mineral beneficiation, I will leave this one for now. Let me focus on the gaming sector. The government wants to increase revenue from the gaming sector in 3 years. I've seen MTC having some activities as far as gaming is concerned. They had a competition, I think, last year. If I'm not mistaken, they have a tournament. My son attended this one because he's a gamer. But the problem we have to achieve this. Okay, we have a minister, because you need to have a young minister. You need to have a minister that understands what gaming is. Because this need to be driven from a young people, from a youth level. And I would borrow Kanjengo's words for yesterday when he said, young people, should not be forced to do what they don't understand. So gaming in other countries has become a sport. And people win, people become stars. So I'm not really that well versed in the gaming sector. I see people now have Xboxes. I don't even know what that is. And the controllers and all that. That's what the young people want. But if it's an economy, we need to give it a chance to see if one or two Namibians can emerge, you know, victorious from there. Because we are not doing well with our sports at current. The government said they are going to build, you know, sports facilities. They have not yet started. So, I don't know how they are going to do that. Because 3 years, I don't know whether all these things are achievable in 3 years. So the government is saying that by 2030, oil production rate will increase from zero. To 150 MB. I don't even understand these abbreviations here. But the government is saying by 2030, the gas production rate will increase also from 0 to 130 MMSCF. Those who understand oil stuff, you understand what this is. And then by 2030, nuclear industry contribution to GDP will increase from 3.2% to 4%. Okay, do we have nuclear already? Okay, this is something that's something new. Because you cannot increase from 3.2 to 4 if you don't have nuclear currently. Do we have nuclear energy already? Okay, I'm ignorant in this area. Then by 2030, the percentage of shared contribution of MSME sector to GDP will increase from 16% to 19.4%. Okay. And then by 2030, then the number of informal enterprises transitioned into formal economy will have increased from 950 to 3,000 to 300 to 950. What is this? I think there's a from 950 to 3,100. And then the government wants to achieve the total private sector contribution to GDP. The increment will be 78% from 78 to 85%. And then the Namibia will have developed a resilient, competitive private sector, improving economic freedom. score from 58% to 65%. This is on international level. And then by 2030, Namibia has integrated the inclusive tourism industry with increased tourist arrival from 863,872 to 1.8 million. By 2030, the percentage of shared tourism sector's contribution to GDP will have increased from 1.6% to 5%. And then revenue from gaming industry will increase from Namibian from 32 million to 76.5 million. Okay. So currently the gaming industry is bringing in 32 million to GDP. Okay. So which means we are somewhere when it comes to the gaming industry. It's growing. This one, I can tell you that the gaming industry, if young people are given a chance, we will even achieve $1 billion from this industry. Because this is what they know. This is what they can do. This is what they spent time doing. We just need more tournaments. You know, more companies to come on board and sponsor tournaments for young people when it comes to gaming. You will see. This one is achievable. It's just private sector and government that need to come on board. You know, they need to come more on board. We need more tournaments. We even need to come up with Namibian Gaming League. Coming up with a Namibian gaming organization, like the way NFA is. So we need to establish a gaming federation. The Namibian Gaming Federation. It shouldn't be a federation where people will just be there increasing their own salaries. No, it must be a federation which facilitates, you know, the growth of young people into the industry. Because the problem we have in Namibia is establishing organizations that are supposed to facilitate growth, but at the end of the day, it just becomes a salary scheme where CEOs and higher officials are they just getting higher salaries and nothing is done. So, if you look at what, you know, Namibian soccer was almost becoming around 2016 or 2015, 2016, you know, it was becoming, we were picking up just for them to come back and they are not getting the money as they thought they will get, and some become discouraged and so forth. So that mentality in NFA should not be the mentality in should there be any, you know, gaming federation established. Because the gaming industry is really lucrative. The good thing about it is that you are not limited to, it's international. So you can even join a team, an international team, while you are Namibian. You just need internet. Because I see my son has Nigerian guys on board. They are teaming up. So it's a good development if it falls in the right hands. if we have the right plans for it, we will have even achieved a billion from this. But if it falls in the hands of, you know, salary earners, well, it's going to be a dead dream. Because there are people that will just occupy positions. And you'll see one person being shifted from one place to the other. Like what Nelson Kalangula said the other day. So, this is what kills momentum when it comes to development. Because the person that failed in another ministry must not be given a chance to go and spoil another ministry again. Anybody that fails must go home. And then new people come in and they inject positive energy for growth. So, like I said, I can go on and on. Now, the government wants apparently to strengthen legal and policy framework. When it comes to policy framework and legal, the government must forget. Because the government did not pass any law right now, apart from the mental health bill. So this eighth National Assembly, when it comes to passing laws, they are very passive, very slow. So when it comes to the legal framework, if they are waiting for the legal framework to be passed, because you cannot implement some of these things without legislation. You need legislation. You need an act of parliament to help you implement this. But an act of parliament, well, will be a dead dream, because this parliament, for the past 2 years, they've only passed one bill. So, because in parliament it's just about debates now, and they debate a lot of things that are not, you know, salty. They are not salty. There's a lot of sugar in parliament. Then the government want to promote sustainably developed oil and gas fields to support the energy transition. Okay. Oil and gas is still in the discovery mode. We don't have oil yet that has come from our ground, that is in the barrel now to be traded. So I don't know what the government is talking about now here. Because you are talking about oil fields that are still on discovery. We are still talking about exploration. We are not even talking about extracting that oil yet. So when it comes to oil and gas, this administration must forget. They are not going to be the one dealing with oil. Because we are still having oil increasing tomorrow. Oil is increasing tomorrow. Petrol is increasing tomorrow. Today is what? Today is 4th of August. So tomorrow, 5th, we are having, petrol increasing. The price of oil increasing in Namibia. It was already announced by the Minister of Industries. So when it comes to oil and gas, government talking about promoting sustainably developed oil and gas fields to support the economy. The government must forget about this one. Now, when the government is talking about develop infrastructure and promote investment growth. Yeah, that one, they can do that. And we talk about strengthen skill development and research, or skill development, research and innovation. The government can achieve this, but the problem we have in government is, like I said, it seems that executive and legislature, or executive and legislative, are a different page from ordinary government officials that are technocrats. Because technocrats are implementers of what executive and legislative, you know, put in place, or whatever they plan. The technocrats are implementers. Now, when you are talking about developed infrastructure to promote investment growth, not this one, we talk about strengthening skills, or skills development, research, and innovation. We still have a long way to go, because some people are still in 1921. If you have a government technocrat that is not in 2026, still operating in the 1921s, you need to forget about skill development at that level. You need to forget about skills development, let alone research and innovation. You need to forget about that from a government point of view. Because you have a lot of government officials, the university graduates. And I told you that the most dangerous people are not politicians. Because politicians are talking every day. They are dreaming every day. So they are planning every day. The people that are problematic are the officials in government, the technocrats. Because number one, those people went to, they get the job through HR, which means they got the job through human resource office. They are not on any party ticket, so they owe no one an explanation whatsoever. So we are at the mercy, or the nation is not at the mercy of a politician. The nation is at the mercy of a technocrat. Because a technocrat has a right to be employed. And firing him on a non-performance, basis will land you into court and lengthy court, procedures. You don't have a guarantee that you are going to win. You might lose. And reinstate this corrupted technocrat back into work. And he continues with his corrupt mentality. That's how dangerous technocrats are. And I'm not against technocrats. I'm just stating the facts. Because these guys, they owe no one any explanation at all. Because they came to work because they qualify. They have the degrees. They pass the interviews. So, these are the guys that are derailing government from achieving its goals. These are the guys. Because they are the implementers of government projects and government plans. And they don't. And I was surprised when a certain parliamentary committee went to Opuo and they were asking. There was supposed to be a field here built. And the governor is saying, huh? Certain projects were supposed to have been completed here. The governor is surprised. Why? Because a technocrat is sitting on that project in Windhoek. The governor will be surprised. You will see the governor surprised. Huh? What project? The parliamentary committee knows, because they are the ones that are planning these things. And they know exactly how projects were supposed to be completed. And you know who is between the legislative or executive and the people is the technocrat. And that is the person that is sitting on government projects. Because there is fragmentation. There is no working together between government at the executive and legislative level with government at the technocratic level. That's where the problem is. So the government must forget about this one. And let me qualify my point why I'm saying the government must forget about this. When you are talking about skills, when you are talking about skills development, and you are talking about research, and let alone you are talking about innovation, I have seen for the period of time that I existed in Namibia, that a lot of technocrats are anti-innovation. That I have seen it. I have seen how a lot of technocrats have become anti-innovation. Because when you are innovative, it is as if you become a threat. And somebody will sit on that and it will never come to pass again. In fact, you will even never hear it again. Now, when it comes to innovation, we have a lot of young people that are innovative. We have seen one young person that came up with a new way of making bricks. Why that young person? They made sure they cooked him silently. Never to be spoken again. Whatever the newspaper picks up or the media picks up, and this is an innovation, it is cooked there and ends there. It dies there. So there are people that are having the Herod mentality of killing a child. You know Herod in the Bible? He went to the point of killing children from 0 to 2 years old just to make sure he secures his seat as a king. That is a mentality that is in government. And it's not an accusation. I have three reasons to qualify what I'm talking about. In fact, four. Because one is, I attended a media conference. It's a press conference at the Chinese embassy where people from the Namibia Planning Commission, they were there. They went to China. People went to China through the Namibia Planning Commission. They went to observe how things are done in China with an aim to come and do what? To come and transform our own. Did they transform? What happened to that? It is now 2 years down the line. Silent, quiet, nothing, zero. Because once you come there with a report, somebody will sit on that thing and it will never materialize. Because if it gets materialized, that's a threat to their job. Because you have a lot of people in government that are not doing their job. So any innovation, any skill will be a threat to their existence. And that is one of the main derailer of government to achieve from achieving its goals. Because you have people that are not working in line with government plans, but they are part of government. So it's a decay from inside. If you are debating with me, you see, government is talking about innovation. Just get on government website right now, a certain ministry. You will see that the last time they updated their website was 6 months ago. So I'm not being critical. Or maybe I am being critical, but from a positive point of view. With a positive purpose. So that we know when we are talking about achieving goals, we know the obstacles. That it is not as easy as it sounds on paper. You have what is eating the government bean. And it is in the bean. It's not outside. The enemies of government are not outsiders. The enemy of government is inside. Now, when we are talking about achieving resilient growth and economic, when you have medical store that is half empty, and you have the anti-corruption commission not even able to trace, because you have a lot of loopholes that people have studied for years and they have mastered, and they know how to make U-turns, V-turns, Q-turns, when you only know how to turn once. Them, you think they are going straight while they have already turned. They've already made a turn. How do you catch such people? So it is, it is a problem brought by, it's a technocratic anointing that is wrong. There is a wrong technocratic anointing in government that is busy killing government plans. That's why you see certain projects in regions that are at a standstill, and money diverted back or money sent back to treasury. So when it comes to strengthening skills, research and innovation, the government has a long way to go, because number one, you also have a lot of institutions that are being formed, a lot of colleges whose curriculum is not investigated by government to check whether they have a curriculum that speaks to what the government wants to achieve. So if you have such a thing, or if you have such things taking place in the country, your goals will be killed by any of those. Because you will have a lot of graduates without capacity. People that have papers, that have degrees, but they don't have capacity. The skills are not bankable. But they are coming from universities or colleges or institutions of high learning. But they can't be employed. They can't be absorbed into the job market. Because they don't have capacity. And I'm a witness to that. Because when I came here on Eagle FM, I'm the only person that was here without any paper. And my colleagues A lot of them were talking about their degrees, their whatever. But when sometimes I wonder, do I really want a degree? Because if somebody with a degree is failing to do what I can do without a degree, then what is the use of me getting one? Or where should I get the maybe a different degree? I had a lot of questions. Maybe some of the questions may be foolish questions. But I think maybe they deserve some attention. So you will have a lot of people that qualify with degrees, but they do not have capacity. That degree cannot be, they don't have the skills they have do not speak to the market. Or they don't have skill at all. But then the question comes, how did they pass? What did they pass then? Then two weeks ago, we were talking about a story where 2,600, you know, 2,600 wannabe nurses failed exam. Because these are nurses that were supposed to be, it's supposed to get, you know, license to be a nurse. But they went and they failed exam. Why? Because you have a fragmented education system where whoever establishes their colleges have their own curriculum, and the Ministry of Health or the health how do they call this organization? The health professional council. The Health Professional Council, and there's another organization, the Namibian Medical Council, something like that. They seem not to be in sync with, you know, what is happening on the ground as far as colleges of and institutions of high learning are concerned. There is no order to say this is what we want. This is what we define a nurse to be. So if you don't have this, you are not a nurse. Maybe it is there, but maybe it is not stressed. That's why people go and everyone goes to this one. They say the nursing. I can set up a Francis Nangela College of Medical Learning today. And I get a certificate from NQA, and people come to my college and they learn, they go and fail. They pay money for 3 years just to go and fail examination that was supposed to determine them being nurses. Just to go to Ukraine for 3 years to come and fail exam. Because you need to write a certain exam for you to be a doctor, for you to be certified. Just go to Ukraine and come back and come and fail. You are not a certified doctor. What are you going to do is to go back again to study. So we are wasting time because of our fragmented our fragmented structure. We are wasting time and resources. And it seems that we think time is on our side. Time is not on our side. We are already 3 years in 2030. You know? Where we were supposed to say, Namibia by 2030, must have been fully industrialized. How do you become fully industrialized when you are still on primary industry? You become fully industrialized by what? By exporting more diamond, more raw diamond. So it seems that the plannings are good. The plans are very good. But implementation is the one that is very difficult. Because you have people that are still in 1921 that are in government. They are not yet even in 1990. The mentality of people in government, the mentality of certain officials in government, it is as if they are still in the 18th century. You know, I went to the bank one day and I was asking to be connected to online banking. And the banker is sitting on a computer, in front of a computer, and is asking me, how are you going to do online banking if you are blind? You know, I did not spare that person. Not an inch. What I did, I just told him, I said, look, you are sitting next to a computer, in front of a computer, and you are asking a 1909 question. That is a question you ask in 1909. But in 2023, you don't ask such questions. Otherwise, you become an embarrassment to the company that employed you. Because that means you don't know the world that you are living in. So there are certain things we don't do in 2026. Those things were done in 1908. We should leave the 19th century and come back to the 20th, at least let's come to the 21st century. So you have a lot of people, a lot of technocrats, who don't understand the times that we are living in. And those are the people that are supposed to implement government projects. So when it comes to the skills, to strengthening skills, development, research and innovation, government will have to work very hard. When it comes to this, that's why I'm stressing the point here. Because if you look at Europe, Europe was not built by philosophy. Let me put it this way. Western Europe, the Anglo-Saxons. I will compare the Greeks with the Anglo-Saxons and I'll tell you the difference. Do you know why Britain, a small island country, would conquer China, a very big country? You know why? And do you know why the Greeks never went anywhere? The Greeks are the ones that started with all these, you know, terminologies that we are using, biology, whatever. It's Greek intellectual property. The Greeks were very smart, but they only focused on mental smartness. They did not bring their smartness, if there's such a word, they did not transform that into skills, into practice, into handy skills. They were not handy. And the Greeks went to war and they failed miserably because they think philosophy, they can apply philosophy at war. War is anger. You can be a philosophic person, but if you can be defeated by somebody that doesn't even know how to speak English. Because when you are fighting, there's no English. And the Greeks were defeated properly because they thought they could apply their education. The Anglo-Saxons were more practical. They were more handy. That's why they were able to discover oil. And that oil transformed the British Empire. and made Britain to be an empire. You know? They conquered almost the whole world. A small country. Now, 20 people control Zimbabwe. Ten people came to Zimbabwe. They conquered the whole country. Three people conquered Zambia. That's how powerful the British were. They didn't need a very powerful army, no. Because they were skilled. They understood that every skill is very important. In Namibia, we were deceived to believe that paper is important. Degree, diploma. You have a lot of people with degrees that cannot even plant an onion. So, we were not taught practical skills. We don't understand handiwork. Europe was built by handiwork, by innovation, and we shun it. Somebody comes up with a new method of bricks, we sit on it. Somebody comes up with a telephone, with a cell phone, we sit on it. Instead of saying, no, let's fund this guy so that he goes to professional, mechanic. So that he comes back, he must understand engine. Or he must understand software. So that when he comes back, we take him. He become our guy in the military. Most of you that are using microwave, you don't even know that microwave was a military thing. It's the army that came up with those microwave, GPS that you are using today, even drones. These are the innovations in the army. But our army is busy competing for making bricks. So when it comes to skill development and research and innovation, the government must forget. Because number one, you have indigenous people that know things. And those indigenous people are not even compensated for their intellectual property. We would have created our own, anti-foot and mouth disease, vaccine. Because I've seen my grandparents, cure foot and mouth. Because I live in a foot and mouth prone area. And I've actually grown up to have seen my grandparents where cattle will just be, a certain medicine will be put in water and the cattle will just drink that, and that is the end of foot and mouth. And completely gone. We still have those herbs there. But we don't respect skills. We don't respect practical skills. We respect intellectual skills, which is good, but they should be a combination. And the Anglo-Saxons were a combination of both. That's why they were able to conquer the world. We were supposed to have been speaking Greek right now. But the Greek, when it comes to Europe, even the European economy, the Greeks are the poorest. When they are the first nation on earth to create, to come up with technologies that we are using now, right now. There is no way you can read an English without coming across a Greek terminology. No way. So I've spent time mostly. The government wants to develop human resources for the development of nuclear industry. Okay, that one I will leave it there.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25 Namibian. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99 Namibian. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99 Namibian. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99 Namibian. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99 Namibian. You Save. Where else?
All right, it's 8 o'clock. I don't even know how time flow. 2 minutes to eight. The number in studio is 0832-888-401. That's a number in studio. I just want to hear your thoughts. Do you think NDB6 is achievable in 3 years? Do you think NDB6 is achievable in 3 years? The government wants to build smart partnership for resources mobilization or for resource mobilization. And the government wants to enhance innovative business support and sustainable capacity development. This also said to develop, the government will want to develop adequate and conducive macro, small and medium entrepreneurship. And then informal business infrastructure.
They can. I think there are still other avenues where they can still give their skills and their energy. So I think.
All right, Uncle Bana, my time is over.
Yeah.
All right, my time is over. I don't want to take time from the next show. And we will meet again tomorrow, same frequency and same time. I'll try by all means to bring a guest here tomorrow. But I think I have to change course because the person that called, the caller that called on the issue of SIM cards seemed to have answered the question.
Why do you seem so worried?
From me, it's a goodbye, and let me hand over to the Kothamosha team in the north. Stay tuned for the rest of the shows.